KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's cloudy and 25 degrees in Atlantic. We look for partly cloudy skies this afternoon with a high near 38. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Voter fraud cases against several Iowans could be in trouble if a district court judge rules that Iowa's voter registration form is illegal. The attorney for a Council Bluffs man charged with election misconduct says the voter registration form has smaller type at the bottom where the person signing certifies citizenship. State law requires the print on the form to be uniform throughout. Attorney David Richter says Pottawatomie County prosecutors stipulated at a hearing on Monday that the type differs, and he expects a judge to find the form illegal. If the judge believes that justifies dismissal of charges against Richter's client, Albert Hart Maxwell, prosecution in similar cases could also be in trouble. Five other people are charged with election misconduct for registering to vote without U.S. citizenship, which is a felony in Iowa. News time is 8:01.
Better communication for a more romantic Valentine's Day. Now you might think, how does that work? But in order to have a healthy romance, you need good communication. And if one partner is experiencing hearing loss and interferes with effective communication, that couple's love life might be sidetracked. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. When family members constantly have to repeat themselves, even to the point of raising their voice, it can be interpreted as anger. But when you're with that special someone and they're whispering sweet nothings and you can't hear them, they may think that you're unresponsive or not interested, when actually you simply can't hear them. But there is something you can do. If impaired hearing is causing a breakdown in your communication with loved ones, a simple hearing evaluation might just reveal the true villain in this love story. Be a hero. Call today for your no-obligation hearing evaluation. Give your Valentine the gift of good communication and see the positive effects with your family and your friends. Call ASI today and together we will determine the best decisions for your hearing loss. ASI with offices in Carroll, Atlantic, Audubon, and Manning.
Officials with Pride, the Progressive Rural Iowa Development Enterprise, said yesterday that three legislative coffees have been scheduled to take place here in Cass County during the 2013 session. Pride President Kenner Baxter said the coffees are an opportunity to have face-to-face dialogue with our Iowa legislators. Redistricting has meant the addition of Senators Hubert Hauser and Jake Chapin to Cass County and the return of Representatives Clell Bodler and Jack Drake. The first coffee takes place Saturday, February 16th, that's 1 week from tomorrow, at 10 a.m. at the Cumberland Fire Station. The next event will be held at the Marnie Community Center beginning at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 16th. The final gathering is at 10 a.m. on Saturday, April 20th at the Griswold Library. That same day, they'll have a community celebration in Griswold to reopen the library after its extensive remodeling. Pride is the economic development organization that works on behalf of communities, businesses, and citizens from Cumberland, Lewis, and Marnie for Southwest Iowa Development. If you'd like information, you can contact Kenner Baxter at 781-2395. A threat from GOP strategist Karl Rove makes it more likely rather than less likely that Republican Congressman Steve King will run for the U.S. Senate. Rove has vowed to spend millions in primaries to defeat ultra-conservative candidates, as Rove contends that candidates like King cannot win a general election. King says that no one is going to bully him out of running for the U.S. Senate.
This is a decision for Iowans, not someone who happens to have a checkbook.
King sent an email to supporters on Thursday saying he was under attack from a crusade led by Karl Rove and his army. King asked his own supporters to make campaign donations to show that Rove that he cannot decide King's political future.
We're going to have a battle in the court of public opinion until it's clear that Iowans will make the decision on their nominee for the United States Senate, and that will set a precedent for the rest of the country. It's that important.
King isn't yet ready to officially declare himself a candidate for the Senate, however.
It's gotten closer each day, but I wouldn't want to imply that the decision is made. It's not. It'll be made by a thorough analysis of the county by county and all of the resources necessary to run a race of this magnitude.
King spoke late Thursday afternoon from Camden Yard in Baltimore, where he was attending a Heritage Foundation retreat. Steve Forbes, the two-time presidential candidate, was the keynote speaker at that event. A Shenandoah man suffered what were described as non-incapacitating injuries during a single vehicle accident Wednesday afternoon in Page County. According to the Sheriff's Department, 48-year-old Timothy Allen LaKey was flown by Mercy 3 Air Ambulance to Creighton Medical Center in Omaha following the crash at around just before 4 p.m. Officials say that LaKey was traveling north on Highway 59 just south of 170th Street, or about 2 miles north of Shenandoah, when his car drifted off the road to the east. When LaKey overcorrected, the vehicle drifted off the road to the west, and then the key overcorrected again, causing the car to enter the east ditch, where it crossed 170th Street and came to rest in a ditch just north of 170th. The key was cited for failure to maintain control. His car was declared a total loss. Dry weather continues throughout the area that feeds into the Missouri River, so water levels will remain low. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers predicts that runoff into the river above Sioux City will be 80% of normal this year. So the Corps is expected to keep the amount of water it's releasing out of Gavin's Point Dam on the South Dakota-Nebraska border at 14,000 cubic feet per second throughout this month. And then around mid-March, the amount of water will be increased to 25,000 cubic feet per second to help support barge traffic on the Missouri. But that will only provide enough water for a minimal channel 8-foot depth and 200 feet wide. A normal navigation channel is 9 feet deep and 300 feet wide, so barges may not be able to carry full loads. Officials at the Iowa Department of Natural Resources say 88 counties have notified the DNR last month they plan to evaluate construction permit applications and proposed locations for animal confinements by using the master matrix. Animal producers in those counties must meet higher standards than other confinement producers who also need a construction permit. They must earn points on the master matrix by choosing a site and using practices that reduce impacts on air, water, and the community. With 11 exceptions, all counties in the state will use the master matrix during the next 12 months. None of the 11 counties who opted not to use the matrix are in western Iowa or southwest Iowa. Counties that adopt the master matrix can provide more input to producers on site selection, the proposed structures, and proposed management facility management. Participating counties can also join in DNR visits to a proposed confinement site. And while all counties may submit comments to the DNR during the review process for permit applications, counties that adopt the master matrix can also appeal approval of a preliminary permit to the Environmental Protection Commission. The deadline for enrolling in the program is January 31st of each year. Now, producers and citizens alike can obtain more information and view a map of those participating counties by looking for pre-construction requirements for permitted confinements on a website, iowadnr.gov/AFO. The matrix affects only those producers who must get a construction permit for a confinement. Generally, those proposed construction, proposed construction, expansion, or modification of confinement feeding operations with more than 2,500 finishing hogs, 1,000 beef cattle, or 715 mature dairy cattle. Governor Terry Branstad is pardoning a two-month-old pig from Central Iowa farm in celebration of a popular festival. Branstad will pardon the Berkshire breed this morning at the governor's mansion in Des Moines. The pardon will be ahead of the Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival, which is scheduled to take place tomorrow at the Iowa State Fairgrounds. The pig will be named Bonnie, and she'll later be returned to a farm and state center that works under Eden Farms. A spokesman for the Des Moines-based Coalition of Independent Family Farmers says Bonnie is expected to become a pet and enjoy the great outdoors. Attendees ate 6,000 pounds of bacon at the festival last year. Tickets for this year's event sold out in just 3 minutes. Well, speaking of food, Iowa kids wouldn't be able to snack on corn chips and a Coke from their school vending machine under a new federal proposal. Smart Snacks in School would change the types of food sold in schools nationwide, according to Kevin Concannon, a former Iowan and the USDA's Undersecretary for Food and Nutrition Services.
The snacks will have to have less sodium, less sugar. You know, you're more likely to have a granola bar than a typical sugar-doused candy bar.
And all foods sold in schools would have to meet certain guidelines, Concannon says, to make them more nutritious. Chips, candy, and soda would be replaced by bagged fruits, vegetables, and low-fat milk. The proposals can be found on the Federal Register. Iowans have 60 days to comment on the proposed changes if they become policy. Iowa schools would have 1 year to comply. Concannon, who served as the director of the Iowa Department of Human Services from 2003 to 2008, says the change is for common sense and better health.
Let's have more foods that we should encourage to children. Let's have fewer foods that we would like to discourage kids from consuming.
Snacks brought from home would still be allowed under the proposal, as well as items from school bake sales. Taking a look at world headlines, parts of the northeastern U.S. could get up to 3 feet of snow this weekend, and the snow has already started to fall in some areas. Forecasters warn this blizzard could be one for the record books. Boston, Providence, Rhode Island, Hartford, Connecticut, and other New England cities and towns have canceled school for today. Widespread power outages are feared, and New York City has 250,000 tons of salt on standby. And Mayor Michael Bloomberg says, "We hope forecasts are exaggerating the amount of snow." More than 2,100 flights have already been canceled for today because of the big snowstorm that's threatening the Northeast. Additional flights have been canceled through tomorrow. The website FlightAware says United Airlines has scrapped some 900 flights for today. Delta has canceled 740 and American Airlines about 200. The airports with the most cancellations are in the New York area and in Boston. Airlines have issued waivers that allow affected passengers to change their travel date without paying a change fee. Police in California are still conducting a massive search for a former Los Angeles police officer suspected of targeting former co-workers and their families. Christopher Dorner is accused of shooting and killing a police officer and the daughter of a retired LAPD captain and her fiancé. Authorities say Dorner posted a manifesto online which talks about seeking revenge on those he feels are responsible for his getting kicked off the police force years ago. News time is 8:11.
Better communication for a more romantic Valentine's Day. Now you might think, how does that work? But in order to have a healthy romance, you need good communication. And if one partner is experiencing hearing loss and interferes with effective communication, that couple's love life might be sidetracked. This is audiologist Doug Leonard from ASI. When family members constantly have to repeat themselves, even to the point of raising their voice, it can be interpreted as anger. But when you're with that special someone and they're whispering sweet nothings and you can't hear them, they may think that you're unresponsive or not interested, when actually you simply can't hear them. But there is something you can do. If impaired hearing is causing a breakdown in your communication with loved ones, a simple hearing evaluation might just reveal the true villain in this love story. Be a hero. Call today for your no-obligation hearing evaluation. Give your Valentine the gift of good communication and see the positive effects with your family and your friends. Call ASI today and together we will determine the best decisions for your hearing loss. ASI with offices in Carroll, Atlantic, Ottoman, and Manning.
And in our funeral announcements this morning here on KJAN, Rebecca Lee Bartlett, age 28, of Bagley, died last Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Rebecca Bartlett will be held today at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Frances Ann Beardsley, age 72, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Frances Beardsley will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Connie Snyder, age 61, of Manning, died Wednesday at her home. Funeral services for Connie Snyder will be Saturday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. Robert Lee Fritz, age 76, of Guthrie Center, died Monday. Graveside services for Robert Fritz will be Saturday at 1:30 at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has the arrangements. Merle Funk, age 87, of rural Griswold, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Merle Funk will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Noble United Methodist Church south of Lyman. Roland Funeral Service is in charge of the arrangements. Esther Larson, age 95, of Exira and formerly of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Esther Larson will be held Monday at 2:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. George H. Wade, age 82, of Anita, died Wednesday at Caring Acres Nursing and Rehab in Anita. A private family celebration of life memorial services for George Wade will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. And Lois Field, age 94, of Harlan, died Wednesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Home in Harlan. Services for Lois Field are pending at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. The news and funeral announcements were brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.